building bridges, not walls, with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Now, what's at stake as the UK is set to rule on the extradition of Julian Assange? Julian Assange, award-winning journalist and publisher of WikiLeaks, faces extradition to the U.S. on charges under the Espionage Act for publishing the truth about U.S. war crimes in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Guantanamo Bay. Assange is facing 175 years in prison. Former president of the National Lawyers Guild, Marjorie Cohn, editor of and contributor to The United States and Torture, Interrogation, Incarceration and Abuse, and Drones and Targeted Killings, Legal, Moral, and Geopolitical Issues, joins us to make the case for freedom for Julian Assange. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Mimi.
I want to start out with perhaps the difficult question, and then we'll get to what you think the case is for freedom for Julian Assange. The government would certainly say that there's a line that's been crossed between freedom of press, the harm that is endangered to the national security state, potentially to our troops, to our spy network, etc., is such that the revelations that were put forth, which were largely compiled by Chelsea Manning and put forth by WikiLeaks, Julian Assange as its publisher, crossed the line of endangerment. And therefore, the issue is not freedom of press. The issue is not the First Amendment. It is not of speech. How are we to parse that out and understand and come to a meaningful position for people of goodwill?
The government doesn't like it when people expose their war crimes. And so they say, oh, you're endangering national security. And one of the things that the Trump administration is claiming is that WikiLeaks and Julian Assange published information with names of U.S. informants in Iraq and Afghanistan that endangered their lives and therefore hurt national security because they would not help us in the future. But actually, at Julian Assange's three-week extradition hearing in London, John Goetz, an investigative reporter who worked for Germany's Der Spiegel, testified that Julian Assange took great pains to ensure that the names of U.S. informants in Iraq and Afghanistan were redacted to protect their identities. He testified that WikiLeaks went through a very rigorous redaction process and that Assange repeatedly reminded his media partners to use encryption. And in fact, Goetz said, Assange tried to stop Der Freitag from publishing material that could result in the release of unredacted information. And moreover, WikiLeaks revelations actually saved lives. Because after WikiLeaks published evidence of Iraqi torture centers that the United States had established, the Iraqi government refused Obama's request to extend immunity to U.S. soldiers who commit criminal and civil offenses in Iraq. And as a result, Obama had to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq. WikiLeaks cables have actually contributed to court findings that U.S. drone strikes are criminal offenses and that criminal proceedings should be initiated against senior U.S. officials involved in those strikes. And 10 years on, the Iraq war logs that WikiLeaks published remain the only source of information regarding many thousands of violent civilian deaths in Iraq between 2004 and 2009. That's according to Iraq Body Count, the premier organization that does a comprehensive monitoring of credibly reported casualties in Iraq. And there was testimony to that effect at Julian Assange's extradition hearing. Now, keep in mind that no media outlet or journalist has ever been prosecuted under the Espionage Act for publishing truthful information, which is protected First Amendment activity, and journalists are permitted to publish material that was illegally obtained by a third person if it's a matter of public concern. And the U.S. government has never prosecuted a journalist or a newspaper for publishing classified information, which is an essential tool of journalism.
Well, how would we look at the case then of Julian Assange versus the much earlier attempts to prosecute Daniel Ellsberg for his release of the Pentagon Papers?
You know, Daniel Ellsberg testified at Julian Assange's extradition hearing, and he said that what Julian Assange did and the importance of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and the importance of WikiLeaks revelations are as of the same caliber and the same quality as what Daniel Ellsberg did, which was to release the Pentagon Papers to the New York Times and other newspapers, and that created a huge outcry, but helped to end the Vietnam War. And he was prosecuted under the Espionage Act, and because of government misconduct, particularly involving the judge, the charges were ultimately dismissed against him. But there is a real parallel between what Daniel Ellsberg did and what Julian Assange and WikiLeaks did, and that was to reveal evidence of U.S. war crimes.
Is the argument also that, in effect, this prosecution is entirely retributive, and that the public's right to know of the activity in war is more important than the prosecution, certainly, or that it vitiates entirely the prosecution of Julian Assange, or for that matter, earlier on, what shouldn't have been the prosecution of Chelsea Manning,
well,
who was
yes.
pardoned by President Obama after serving 7 years.
Right. As he left office, Obama commuted Chelsea Manning's sentence to the 7 years she had already served, and that commutation provoked tremendous anger in Donald Trump. That actually drew his attention to Julian Assange, and they came up with this secret indictment, which now is, of course, not so secret. But keep in mind that Obama prosecuted more whistleblowers, many of them under the Espionage Act, than all of the presidents preceding him combined. But Obama's administration considered indicting Julian Assange and decided against it because of what is now referred to as the New York Times problem. They were worried that, first of all, that WikiLeaks didn't do anything different than what the New York Times, Der Spiegel, Le Monde, etc. did in publishing articles based on documents that WikiLeaks released, and they were concerned, and Charlie Savage wrote about this in the New York Times, that this would set a precedent that would chill reporting on national security matters and would be a very serious blow to the First Amendment freedom of the press. So the Obama administration refrained from indicting Julian Assange, but Donald Trump has shown no such forbearance and has gone after him with a vengeance.
Well, I want you to flesh out a bit more the issue of what the prosecution of Assange actually would mean to the willingness of journalists, of other journalists, to report government wrongdoing. I also want you then to take us a little bit through the Espionage Act, which in any event seems like a completely tortured, and no puns intended, use of such to indict Julian Assange.
Yes. I mean, the Espionage Act was not designed to punish whistleblowers and journalists who publish truthful information. He is charged, Julian Assange is charged in the indictment with unlawfully obtaining and disclosing classified documents related to the national defense. And the indictment alleges that Assange conspired with Chelsea Manning and obtained from her and aided and abetted her in obtaining classified information Iran with reason to believe that the information would be used to the injury of the United States or the advantage of a foreign nation. Those charges were roundly debunked at Julian Assange's extradition hearing. When the Trump administration saw that their indictment was going to raise issues of freedom of the press and the right of journalists to publish information, they tried to paint Julian Assange as a hacker, accusing him of conspiring with Chelsea Manning to break into a government computer to steal government documents in violation of the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. But Patrick Eller, a digital forensic expert, testified at Julian Assange's extradition hearing that the attempted cracking of the password hash was not technologically possible in 2010, which is when the conversation between Assange and Manning allegedly occurred. And even if it were feasible, the purpose would not have been to conceal Manning's identity. So that was also testimony that came out at the extradition hearing.
And so how much danger does this do to a free press? How chilling is this prosecution for other journalists who watch over their shoulder as they publish anything that a government may find objectionable?
Well, yes. I mean, if Julian Assange is successfully extradited to the United States, stands trial on this indictment, is convicted and sentenced, then that will send a message to journalists that you publish truthful information about war, about wrongdoing by the U.S. government at your peril, because you could be charged with offenses under the Espionage Act. And so it will chill journalists and detrimentally impact the freedom of the press and the right of the people to know what our government is doing. So it has vast ramifications, and that's why the Obama administration went after whistleblowers so strongly, declined to indict Julian Assange for fear of setting a dangerous precedent. Now, Trump, of course, Trump calls the media the enemy of the people, and so he has gone after Julian Assange the way the Obama administration did not. But if Julian Assange is extradited to the United States and is convicted under this indictment, then it will send a very, very chilling message to journalists for the future. Yeah, that's why this case is so important.
On January 4th, the judge in London will rule on Trump's motion to extradite Assange to the U.S. Now, without even where we go in terms of what is likely to happen, which I'm sure you'll relate to us, the question for me is, what is the procedure? What is the standard by which the UK has both jurisdiction, shall we say, and has, what is the standard for them making this kind of determination? And we should otherwise say that Julian Assange is being held under terribly, terribly onerous conditions, and his health has suffered enormously as a result of it.
Well, there is a judge in London, Judge Baratzer, who heard testimony in this 3-week extradition hearing, and she will make this determination, as you said, on January 4th, about whether to grant Trump's motion to extradite Julian Assange to the United States to stand trial on the indictment. And this would happen under the 2003 U.S.-UK extradition treaty. But that treaty forbids extradition for a political offense. And although the treaty doesn't define political offense, it generally includes espionage, treason, sedition, and crimes against state power. And Trump is asking the UK to extradite Assange for exposing war crimes, which is a classic political offense. And Assange is charged under the Espionage Act, and espionage constitutes a political offense as well. There is also a treaty that both the United States and the UK have ratified, and it's called the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. And that treaty has a provision called non-refoulement, and that forbids extradition to a country where there are substantial grounds to believe a person would be in danger of being tortured. And there was extensive testimony at Julian Assange's extradition hearing that if he were extradited to the United States, he would be held in a maximum security prison and in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. Solitary confinement amounts to torture because it can lead to hallucinations, catatonia, even suicide. And there was testimony at the extradition hearing that Julian Assange is a suicide risk because of the persistent psychological torture that he underwent for the 7 years that he was in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, and the UK government would not allow him to leave, even for medical reasons. He has some very serious medical conditions, which, by the way, make him a particularly vulnerable to the coronavirus. You know, some pulmonary conditions that were exacerbated when he was in London. And so the UN Special Rapporteur, Niles Meltzer, said that Assange exhibited signs of prolonged exposure to psychological torture. And he has called for Julian Assange's release house arrest because of he's a suicide risk and other. There were many psychiatrists who testified, mental health professionals who testified at the extradition hearing about Julian Assange being a suicide risk. To say nothing of the fact that it would be almost impossible for him to get a fair trial in the United States. The federal court in Washington D.C. And actually, I think it's in Virginia where the charges were filed, has a 100% record of guilty verdicts in espionage cases. That's where the so-called war on terror cases from the Bush administration were tried. And he will be held under what are called special administrative measures, or SAMs, where he will be limited in his ability to consult with his lawyers, which will also hurt his chances for a fair trial. So he would be subjected to torture, which means that he should not even be extradited in the first place, but he is at risk both physically and mentally if he is extradited.
Your prognosis or guesstimation, which is certainly a studied one, no doubt, on what the UK will do?
Well, in 96% of the cases that have come before this judge, she has granted the extradition motion. And she kind of tipped her hand when Julian Assange's lawyers were asking that he be released on bail because of the coronavirus risk. And she said, she kind of tipped her hand by saying, well, there's a very good chance that he will be extradited. And so she didn't release him, and kind of, you know, prejudging the case. But if she does grant Trump's extradition motion on January 4th, then there will be several levels of appeal within the UK, and eventually an appeal to the European Court of Human Rights. So this could take a number of years. Meanwhile, Julian Assange, having been convicted of nothing, is languishing in a high-security prison in London, Belmarsh Prison, where the coronavirus is running rampant, and it's just not clear how long he's going to last under those conditions.
Well, I'm sure many people are thinking right now about Trump's pardon of the four Blackwater contractor war criminals. And looking at that and their pardon as a juxtaposition against Julian Assange. And there had been some rumor, which I don't know if it was ever more than rumor or what you know of it, that Trump had been giving some consideration to a pardon in any event. But if you could just maybe parse out those two things and how are we to understand, what does it say about the government that Assange languishes and faces 175 years under the Espionage Act for publishing what people not only have a right to know, but must know, to be able to inform the way we live our lives and the course of democracy. So what is that question of how you look at that pardon power that was granted to four war criminals that killed with deliberacy women, children, and men in Iraq?
Well, the way I look at it is four Blackwater mercenaries used machine guns and grenade launchers to kill or wound at least 31 Iraqi civilians in Baghdad in 2007. They were convicted and they're serving long prison terms. And in a move that fueled outrage throughout Iraq, Trump pardoned all four men. Now contrast that with another war crime committed in 2007 in Baghdad, where a U.S. Army Apache helicopter targeted and fired on unarmed civilians, killing at least 18 people, including two Reuters reporters, and wounding two children. The helicopter crew was never prosecuted. The U.S. government withheld that information from the public. And in 2010, Julian Assange and WikiLeaks published the so-called collateral murder video, which depicted the helicopter killings. And yet Trump indicted Assange and is trying to extradite him from Britain to the United States, where he would face 175 years in prison for exposing U.S. war crimes. So what kind of president pardons people who commit war crimes but indicts those who reveal them? And Trump should immediately dismiss the indictment against Assange and grant him a full pardon.
At this time, is there any power? Certainly there's always boots on the ground that people in the UK and people here should have to demand the freedom of Julian Assange. But as a closing argument, what is to be done and why is it so imperative? Why is it so imperative for a free press, for the promise of democracy, that Julian Assange be released?
Well, it is critical to freedom of the press and the right of journalists to publish truthful information based on classified documents, which they have done for years. And this will chill the right of journalists to publish and the right of the public to have information about transgressions and lawbreaking by our government if Julian Assange is extradited to the United States and tried on this indictment under the Espionage Act. So Trump should, first of all, dismiss the indictment because his administration brought the indictment, so they should dismiss the indictment and give him a full pardon. If Trump doesn't do that, then Joe Biden should do that because Joe Biden will also, his administration will also have the power to dismiss the indictment and grant Julian Assange a full pardon, and that's what should happen.
Well, certainly your closing argument convinces me, motion granted summarily, he should be released forthwith. But just finally, as we approach the new year, what is the takeaway? What is the legacy from both this terrible prosecution, from the legacy indeed of an illegal war that was conducted against Iraq, and in response to somebody or with somebody like yourself who has spent decades looking at the terrifying injustices, indeed murder, extralegal killings that our government has uttered, has carried out in our name abroad?
Well, keep in mind that Julian Assange founded WikiLeaks during the Bush administration's so-called War on Terror, which was used as a pretext to start two illegal wars and carry out a widespread program of torture and abuse of prisoners at Guantanamo and the CIA black sites. And in 2010 and 2011, WikiLeaks published the Afghan war logs, 90,000 reports about the war in Afghanistan, which documented a greater number of civilian casualties by coalition forces than the U.S. military had copped to. Also, the Iraq war logs, 400,000 field reports about the Iraq war, more than 15,000 unreported deaths of Iraqi civilians, and the systematic murder, torture, and rape by the Iraqi army and authorities that were ignored by U.S. forces. And WikiLeaks also published the Guantanamo files, 779 secret reports constituting evidence of the U.S. government's abuse of approximately 800 men and boys ages 14 to 89 in violation of the Convention Against Torture and the Geneva Conventions. And so if you back up and look at what at the transgressions of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, what they did was to expose U.S. war crimes. Pure and simple, from 2010 to 2011. That's what he is being indicted for, and that's why the Trump administration is trying to extradite him to the United States for revealing evidence of U.S. war crimes, and that should not be allowed to happen.
Marjorie Cohn, thank you for making the case to free journalist Julian Assange.
You've been listening to Building Bridges, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Stay strong and stay well.